Valentine's Day is less than a week away, which is great if you have a romantic partner, but it can be tough for those who don't or who are recently broken up. Breakups are hard for everyone, but they're even harder for some people. New research tells us why that is.
We want to hear from you about this. Why do you think some people take these breakups harder than others? What experience have you had with breakups? Are you the type of person who takes it really hard, or does it roll off your back and you bounce back pretty quickly? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Lauren Howe joins us now. She's a PhD candidate in social psychology at Stanford University, and she's one of the experts behind this new research. Lauren, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Why did you want to look at breakups specifically?
So my co-author, Carol Dweck, and I thought it was really interesting how much people might differ in whether the pain of rejection seems to linger for them. So we noticed that some people, more than others, seem to really struggle with recovering after a breakup. They seem to be more haunted by the ghosts of their romantic past. So we thought that presented a very curious puzzle. Why do some people seem to bounce back from bad experiences and relationships more readily than others?
So how did you go about researching that?
So we surveyed people in two different ways. So in one series of studies, we asked people to reflect on their own experiences with romantic rejection. We asked them to recall a time that they were rejected and it was very painful. And then we asked them some questions about their experiences. In other studies, we actually asked people to imagine being rejected. So we had them read a story where they imagined being either broken up with by a long-term partner or experiencing a maybe smaller rejection where they imagined meeting someone at a party, feeling a spark, and later overhearing that person say they would never be interested in them romantically. And then we asked them some questions about how they would imagine responding in that situation.
So it sounds like these could be responses that deal more broadly with rejection, not just romance.
Yeah, so we wanted to focus on breakups because we think that they can be a very interesting kind of threat to the self. So it's really hard to have a person who you thought knew you really well leave you and to deal with that kind of pain.
Well, it sounds like there were two kinds of people when it comes to this kind of romantic rejection. What kinds of responses did you see?
So one thing that really jumped out at us in this research was when we asked people to reflect on their rejection, there were very different stories that people told about the rejection. One group of people really seemed to link the breakup or the rejection that they had experienced to something about who they were as a person. So they were really likely to respond to rejection by worrying that it revealed something that was wrong with them, some kind of flaw or negative characteristic that they had. So it seems like for some people, rejection really caused them to question who they were and what the rejection revealed that was kind of deficient about them.
And what about the other kind?
So there were several other stories that people might tell themselves that didn't implicate the self in this way. So some people saw rejection as a very common human experience. They said, you know, everyone gets rejected. It's just, you know, kind of part of the way that life goes. So they didn't take it as personally in that way. Some people did link rejection to the self, but they felt like they had the potential to change the thing that had been revealed to them through this experience. So, for instance, they might say, I learned that I was very bad at communicating in this relationship, but after moving on from that relationship, I've been able to be clearer about my expectations and have become better at communicating and have been able to have successful relationships since.
So you use the word stories, the kinds of stories that we tell ourselves after a breakup. Does this really just sort of get at the narratives, the way we explain what happened?
Yeah, I think humans are natural storytellers, especially when dealing with complicated events. We often craft a narrative to help us understand the things that happened to us. And I think this can be especially true for painful events like breakups.
We're talking right now with Lauren Howe from Stanford University, talking about new research on why some people take breakups harder than others, looking at breakups as we head into the lead up to Valentine's Day. And we're going to go ahead and take a call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jason is with us in Eau Claire. Jason, hi.
Hi.
What is your story?
I guess I've been through a few breakups now. I'm 35 years old, been through five-year relationships, two-year relationships. And when they've ended, I've always felt like it was my fault, like I was a failure, like I had done something wrong within the relationship. to cause it to go wrong and really tried to work even when the relationships weren't going as well as, you know, a real relationship should go. I've tried to stretch it out. And then once they did end, it was devastating. They've all been very, very hard for me and taken a long time for me to get over as, you know, trying to move on from it. And I guess what I've learned from that is that it's not necessarily my fault as a failure in a relationship, but the fact that, you know, I wasn't necessarily with somebody that I matched up well with. And instead of trying to match up well with somebody I didn't, that I should be looking for somebody that I do match up with.
Yeah,
and that kind of helped me get through it.
Uh-huh. So you sort of changed your approach over the years. It used to be, it sounds like you were hard on yourself and told yourself that it was you who was wrong. And now you're realizing that maybe it's about the match instead. Does that sound right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm not choosing the right people. I'm choosing people that are basically willing to be with me instead of people that are, you know, a good match and somebody that I should be with.
Jason, thanks a lot for that. And Lauren, sounds familiar from your research there, but it does sound like, you know, Jason gives us hope. He went from being one kind of person, telling himself one kind of story, to the other kind of story, the more positive kind.
Yeah, I think changing the stories that we tell ourselves about rejection could be a really powerful way to help us cope with rejection in a better light. There's so many factors that can go into the end of a relationship, and I think recognizing the factors that maybe aren't all about you could be a very positive step.
Now, most people, after a relationship ends, there's a time of reflection. You call this a healthy behavior. You look back on it. You think about what went wrong, how you behaved, how they behaved. When does that kind of healthy reflecting become something that's more unhealthy?
So I think it can become very unhealthy when that process of reflection really makes you doubt your basic worth as a person, whether you feel like there's some terrible flaw that you have that you wouldn't be able to change when you see this kind of new terrible knowledge about yourself. So I think it's very positive when you think about how something that went wrong could be different in other relationships and how you could work on it, but that's maybe not so positive when you instead kind of see it as being condemned to having this negative trait.
So going back to Jason there, who's changed the stories that he told himself and the way he reflected on things to a more positive moving forward mentality, how could he have gotten there maybe sooner? How can we change if we're someone who does take things pretty hard? We blame ourselves. We think this is the way I am. I'm flawed. How can we make it better quicker?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of different things that could be done. I think one is to get into a habit of questioning our self-narratives. I think a lot of people's gut reaction is to have this kind of inward-turning response where you kind of wonder, what was it about me? Why wasn't I good enough? And I think, you know, to change the questions that you start asking, to think, what were the other factors that were at play? Was there something wrong with the timing? Were we maybe just on different pages with what we wanted out of relationships? And kind of changing the questions that you're asking yourself could be one step. And I think also thinking about the fact that people can and do change all the time. More and more, I think there's evidence that we can develop who we are. We can become better at communicating, and that can really positively impact relationships. So I think believing in that potential for change might also be key.
And another thing you look at here is the loss, the potential loss of self, because when you first start seeing someone romantically, sometimes with friendships too here, I guess we're talking about, you can take on their interests and all of a sudden you're this new exciting person who does all these other things. But then when you break up with a partner, all of a sudden sometimes that stuff can go away. How does that translate into all of this?
Yeah, so I think one thing that makes relationships very satisfying is getting to know someone and kind of taking on their identity and interests as aspects of your own self. And I think sometimes people wonder, like, well, in order to prevent the pain of a breakup, should I just not get as close to people? Should I not kind of let myself intertwine with their self? And I would say, you know, that is a very positive aspect of relationships, and it can make things more painful. So, for instance, a lot of research has shown that in relationships where people feel like they've really learned a lot from their partner, where they adopted a lot of new perspectives or took on new interests, the loss of that relationship is particularly painful. But I think what we looked at was not just how people might change their size of their self after a breakup. So people who, you know, felt like they learned a lot from their partner often feel like they have a smaller sense of self after the breakup. But feeling like your sense of self is smaller is very different from kind of questioning your basic worth as a person. So that's where we found that things can tend to go very wrong and where there might be ways to cope in better ways.
Does it help for people to continue whatever new things they began with a partner? Like, let's say they get into paragliding or something with someone. Can they just keep doing that and that lessens the blow?
Yeah, I think that would be actually something very interesting to look at, whether maintaining those new aspects of yourself might be helpful in coping with a breakup. I think, you know, distractions themselves might be helpful, but it would be really interesting to look at in future research.
We're talking with Lauren Howe right now from Stanford University, talking about new research on why some people take breakups a lot harder than other people.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. How have you responded in the past to breakups, that kind of what might feel like rejection? How have you dealt with it or gotten over it in the past? And what do you think about this new research, which you're hearing from our guest? And which kind are you? Are you the kind of person who gets really hurt in that breakup, or are you able to move on? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on our Central Time Facebook page.
We're picking up our discussion now about new research on breakups with Lauren Howe of Stanford University.
Research finds that there's kind of two kinds of people when it comes to breakups. People who take it hard, take it as a rejection of who they are, a failure on their part, and people who have a different kind of story that they tell themselves. Maybe they get over it a little easier. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're willing to share your breakup story, your experience, and how you got to over it, and which category you fit into, and what did you learn from it? What advice do you have for others who are maybe going through that now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Lauren, looking at the way people view their mental state, what are the differences there in terms of people who think of their self as sort of flexible and people who see themselves as more fixed?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So we found in our research that the people who struggled the most with rejection, so who tended to continue to be really upset over breakups even years later, and who worried that they might never find someone who really loved them, tended to be these people who told the stories about the self in the light of rejection. So the next question that we wanted to ask was, what causes people to link rejection to something about who they are as a person, to some kind of fundamental flaw? And what we found was that this really depended on people's beliefs about personality. So whether people saw personality in general as something that can change and be developed, whether they thought people can mold their traits over time, or whether people believe that personality tends to be fixed and stable, your traits kind of become set in stone. And we found that people who had this latter view, who believe that personality is fixed, were the people who were more likely to tell these damaging stories that linked rejection to the self.
So if you are one of those people who sees yourself as more fixed, what do you do to change that?
Yeah, so one thing that's very interesting is our beliefs about personality are things that appear to be malleable, so we can change our beliefs about personality. I think there's some very interesting psychology research that speaks to both views about personality, some showing that, you know, traits can be heritable, for instance, and some showing that traits can be worked on and developed. So things that we've thought of as, you know, maybe very basic traits like empathy are actually things that can be developed through training. So I think you could start to look more into research that speaks to the fact that you can change important attributes and think about the potential for change in your own life.
We're going to go to our callers now. We've got Amy on the line with us from Milwaukee. Amy, hi.
Hi.
What is your breakup story?
Well, I am single at 44, so I mean, it would take me all day to go through my breakups, but I always feel extremely upset for like a day or two, and it always empowers me because I just know in my life I just strive to be better. I just always feel like I can't wait to run into this guy next year because I'm going to look better, I'm going to be more successful, and I'm going to be wiser. And that's the way I feel about breakups.
Okay, so you use it as kind of a springboard to a better you.
Absolutely. It ends up always inspiring me.
Amy, thanks a lot for that. So a lot of silver linings there for Amy. Maybe that's why she's single. She seems like she gets better every time. What do you think about that, Lauren?
Yeah, I think that's a very amazing response to have in the light of rejection. And some of the stories that I've read when people have shared their personal experiences with rejection have had these really just inspirational themes about how they saw rejection as a stepping stone to becoming a better person, or how even rejection could be a key to a brighter future, to really kind of improving your life and knowing more about yourself.
Amy, appreciate that call. And we're going to go next to Tom in Appleton. Tom, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Appreciate you taking my call.
And what did you want to share?
Oh, basically, is that I was in a relationship, you know, engaged, being married, you know, in love like everybody else, I guess. And she had kids, so we discussed getting fixed, not to have kids, because, you know, she had kids, and that was a great idea, whatever. And then, well, she got pregnant by somebody else.
Oh, boy.
Which, yeah, exactly, which didn't go really good, but... But for the most part, I would say it's all about good family and friends.
Good family and friends. So you leaned a lot on your support network, and did that help you through?
100%. And to this day, her kids, who basically called me dad at that point when this all happened, and now the kids are all grown, her kids are all grown, we're actually, you know, friends on Facebook, and we get along fantastic. You know, friends and family, and keep a cool head, and things work out. You keep a cool head, and friends and family, and life is good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Tom, appreciate that. And Tom taking a very balanced approach there. It's something that could have been pretty traumatic. He's turned it around. He sounds like he leans a lot on his support network. Do you talk and look at all Amy, Lauren, rather, about the friends and family and their role?
Yeah, we actually haven't in our research, but I think a lot of other psychology research really speaks to the power of social connection and friends and family, and how they can be a really important source in helping people deal with stressful situations.
And so, Lauren, going forward, we're heading into Valentine's Day. Some people feeling great, enjoying it. Other people not so much. What advice do you have for someone who has trouble getting over breakups?
Yeah, so I think... You know, especially around Valentine's Day, we can't help but sometimes to remember the painful things that have happened in past relationships. So I would encourage people to think about how those different chapters of their lives kind of can add to who you are as a person and add to your overall life, and how those painful moments can really be springboards for growth.
Lauren, thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That was Lauren Howe, PhD candidate in social psychology at Stanford University. She joined us there to talk about her new research on why some people take breakups harder than other people.